Your Bibles once again this morning. We're going to go to Galatians 2 and we're going to go to Acts 15. Galatians 2 and Acts chapter number 15. So I have Galatians 2, Acts 15. Once again, we do want to welcome those that are listening by over the internet on Paltalk and Ustream. Not sure. I know they were having trouble with the connection earlier, but I think we're good to go, right? Okay, excellent. All right, let's begin with a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we're grateful that we can spend some time again this morning in your word. We do ask that as we do so, that we would appreciate in a greater way the details that are here, the way that your word just is so marvelously put together, and that you designed it that way for our edification, for our understanding, and for our growth. In Christ's name, we do give you praise and thanksgiving. Amen. Okay, so what, of course, we have been looking at during the Sunday school session these last number of weeks, and we still have several weeks to go, obviously, is the where in the book of Acts you see the details about the conversion of Saul of Tarsus and significant events in relationship to when he wrote his various epistles. Now, we are at a point in our study now where we should have enough information to be able to come to a reasonable conclusion as to the actual writing of the book of Galatians. That's what we're going to do this morning. So we have several pieces of the puzzle that we've already studied that we're going to kind of put together. And then we're going to read some other passages of Scripture and then come to some conclusions about some things. And so the objective today is to see if, based upon the information that we've seen in the Word of God so far, do we have enough information to be able to identify when he most likely wrote the book of Galatians? Now, to get ourselves going, once again, we try to do this each week. We'll do this pretty quickly just so that we don't waste a lot of time on this. Remember, Acts 9 is the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, right? Acts 13 and 14 is his first apostolic journey. Acts 15 is the trip to Jerusalem, which is where we have been studying the last several weeks. And what we have determined is that Luke's account in the book of Acts, Acts 15, Paul also gives an account of that same event in Galatians, what chapter? Galatians chapter 2. We're going to be focusing on that more this morning. There's a few other details we have to pick up, all right? But let's keep going for purposes of the timeline. So then, we say Acts 16, verse 1, but it's actually the very last verse of chapter 15. Go to Acts 15 there. Look at Acts 15. If you can see it, verse 41, 15:41, it says, "And he," that would be Paul, "went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches." That really is the start of his second. It's actually 15:41. I know we tend to say chapter 16. All right. So if you want to be more specific, which actually is good to do, right? You'll go. This one's kind of burned out there. Sorry about that. You go 15:41 to 18:22. That's his second apostolic journey. Remember that? And then 18:23 to 21:17 is his third apostolic journey. Now, we have not yet looked at those. We are going to as we proceed. But here's what you want to know. Relative to our study today and why it's going to be important today and then, you know, the weeks ahead in relationship to coming to a conclusion as to when he wrote most likely the book of Galatians, a couple of things about the second apostolic journey. The second apostolic journey. He begins that journey and he covers much of the same territory, not all of it, but much of the same territory as he covered during his first apostolic journey, although it doesn't go to Cyprus. There's no indication it goes to Cyprus. So we need to ask the question back here. On his first apostolic journey, what were some of the main areas, cities, towns that he went to? Lystra, Iconium, Derbe, and then the territories of Galatia. Okay, so remember that. So remember here, you've got the territory, the larger territory of Galatia. You've got Lystra, Derby. Lyconium. You can't read my handwriting anyway, so don't worry about it, right? All right. But you should know that by now. On his first apostolic journey, that's when Lystra, Derbe, cities of Lyconia, the Galatia territory. You should know that by this point, right? Everybody knows that by this point, right?
Sure.
Excellent. Thank you. All right. Now, so on his second apostolic journey, he retraces and recovers some of that same territory. All right? So over here, remember, he's going to recover some of that same ground. It is on this journey, his second apostolic journey, that he gets that so-called, what they call the Macedonia vision. Remember that? When he gets a vision of a man telling him to come to Macedonia and help us. And when he gets to Macedonia, he finds out it was a woman. Remember the Lydia at Philippi? Okay. So here's why it's important relative to our study today. And it will be important as you proceed. It is on his second apostolic journey that he not only retraces some of the territory he went to on his first apostolic journey, which means he hit Galatia again. But now this is when he comes to Macedonia the first time. And then he goes to Achaia the first time. Write that down in your notes, please. That's going to be important for us today. It's on his second apostolic journey when he goes to the Macedonia territory the first time. And then he goes down to Achaia for the first time. Everybody write that down? Now, in Macedonia, who remembers what is the first city he went to where he eventually wound up establishing a local assembly? Anybody remember what it was? Somebody say Philippi.
Yes.
And you'll be right if you say it that way. Okay. Philippi. That's in Macedonia. He goes down from Macedonia. He goes down from Philippi. He goes down to Thessalonica. He goes down to Berea. Those are in Macedonia territory. He goes to Philippi, then Thessalonica, then Berea. So remember Macedonia. Macedonia. Then he goes down to Achaia. And in Achaia, there's two primary areas he goes to. One is Athens. Who wants to take a stab at what the other one is?
Home.
Home, no, not home.
Corinth.
Corinth, thank you. Who said that? Katie got it. There you go. Oh, she's looking at the map. That's awesome. Good job. Hey, that's helpful. Okay. So in Macedonia, remember it was Philippi. So some of the churches in Macedonia, Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea. Then he goes further south. He goes down to Achaia. He goes to Athens. Remember that famous sermon on at Athens to the unknown gods and all that kind of stuff. Okay, and then he goes down to Corinth. Okay. Now, real quickly, then, and then he comes back to Antioch, of course, and that completes his trip. And then on the third apostolic journey, it's interesting that he covers not every single city the same way as before, but he covers some of the same areas as the prior trips. Spends a lot of time in Asia, comes across to Macedonia, goes down to Achaia, wants to go back up through Macedonia, but is unable to do that, so he sails across back to Asia, and then eventually to Jerusalem. Okay, so keep that picture in mind. Keep those details in mind. I realize that we haven't studied that in a lot of detail so far. We will in the days ahead. But this is going to be important for us relative to where we are today in relationship to coming to a reasonable conclusion as to when he actually penned the book of Galatians. Now, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to go back to Acts 15. So right now you want to have Acts 15 and you have Galatians 2. Back at Acts 15. Remember Acts 15, he goes to Jerusalem, they have the Jerusalem Council, they come to their conclusions, Paul is sent back, Paul goes back, right? If you will look at Acts 15, and look at verse 30. The city that's going to become important relative to our study today now is Antioch. It's not that it hasn't been important before, it has, it's just relative to our study today and the timing of the writing in the book of Galatians. Antioch. So you can see at verse 30, Acts 15:30, it says, "So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch." So now they're back. Remember at chapter, remember verse 1, this whole thing started in Antioch? Remember verse 1? It says, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren." And that's the brethren up at Antioch. So they send Paul off. Paul goes down, has meet. He comes back to Antioch now. So in Acts 15:30, he's back at Antioch. That's important to know relative to our study. He gathers the multitude together. They delivered the epistle. They read it. So he spends some time now here in Antioch. You're not told how much time. It doesn't seem like a lot of time, but it's not like 1 or 2 days either. Okay? You can see that verse, he's gathered the church together there at verse 30, verse 31. You can see verse 32, "And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them, and after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles." So in other words, Judas and Silas go back. So you've got a little bit of time that Paul is back up at Antioch in from verse 30 to verse 32. Everybody see that there? And it says, "Notwithstanding it pleased Silas," verse 34, "Silas to abide there still." By the way, from this point on, Silas seems to be a pretty constant companion, or often companion with the Apostle Paul. Later on, his name appears to be the same individual as Silvanus. Just kind of make a note of that, Silvanus. Okay? All right, so he stays with them. So now watch what happens this. Verse 35, "Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also." So again, there's some time passes there. So they're back at Antioch. "And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work." Now stop for just a second. You guys remember the details about Mark? Remember, Mark came with him on this journey, but then kind of abruptly departed. Remember that? Well, now, as Paul's fixing to start the second journey, Barnabas says, "Hey, let's take Mark." And Paul says, "I don't think so." All right? There obviously was some reason that Mark wasn't going along with Paul's new revelation and so forth. However, do remember that later on in Paul's late ministry, what does he say?
Mark is not very important.
That's right. He says, "Bring Mark. He's profitable to me for the ministry." So Mark seems to be completely have turned around later on. Joseph, go ahead. It does not appear to be. Yeah, that's a good question. The question was, is this the same Mark as the Mark that wrote the Gospel of Mark? It, as far as I can tell, it is not the same Mark. Okay. Yeah, yes, that's true. But as far as I can tell, it's not the same Mark. I know there's different conclusions people come to about that. But as far as I can tell, it's not the same one. Okay. And by the way, I'm not the final authority on this, but just everything I've looked at, I don't come to conclusion it's the same person. Okay? Okay. Now, real quickly then, so watch what happens here. You can see verse 39, "And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other." Boy, that was a pretty big contention, right? "And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus." That's interesting, because remember, they did go to Cyprus. That was the first place they went on Paul's first apostolic journey. So Barnabas goes back to Cyprus with Mark. What happened at Cyprus during the first apostolic journey? Remember that? Elymas,
yes,
the sorcerer, Bar-Jesus, and Sergius Paulus, the Jew and the Gentile. Bar Jesus, Elymas, sought to turn the deputy away from the faith. What does Paul do? Paul pronounces blindness on him, doesn't he? For a season. Salvation to this Gentile. The blindness of Israel. Fall of Israel. It is interesting that Barnabas and Mark go back to Cyprus. Again, you got to ask, well, why? There's some speculation there. But anyway. On the other hand, Paul, look at verse 40. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. So he goes back then to this territory, much the same territory. So Lystra, Derbe, Iconium, including some of the territory of Galatia. Everybody with me so far? In fact, if you look at chapter 16:1, then came he to Derbe and Lystra. And that's where he picks up Timothy. Okay? We'll deal with that more next time. Now, watch this. So from verse 30 down to verse, really, 40, where is Paul? He's at Antioch. Do you get any indication from verse 30 down to verse 40 that there might be some or has been some issues developing, possibly? How? Why would you say yes? Yeah, because of the contention now between Barnabas and Paul. There's something developing there. Something that has resulted in... And you know, specifically you're told over the issue of Mark, but why did this come up anyway? Alright? So now watch... So what I want you to do now is this. You're going to have to hold Acts 15 there, and you're going to have to go to Galatians 2. Go back to Galatians 2 now. Go back to Galatians 2. Look back at Galatians 2. Okay, so again, when you're down at verse 1, all the way down to verse 11, I'm sorry, verse 10, you've got Paul's account of the council, the agreement they came to, so then he goes back to Antioch, right? So now look at chapter 2, verse 11 of Galatians. But when Peter was come to Antioch. Okay, now let's we have to ask the question, when was that? After Acts 15, there are only three times that Paul is said to have gone back to Antioch. Paul. I'm going to get to Peter in just a second. Okay. There are only three times that Luke says in Acts that Paul went back to Antioch. One we just read there in Acts 15, verse 30 to 40. Paul goes back to Antioch. And then he leaves. The next time he comes to Antioch is Acts 18:22. The next time he comes back to Antioch actually it is just twice, isn't it? Because it's that one there. He's back here at his second. And then actually he comes back and he's in Jerusalem. Truly it is just the two times. I was wrong there, okay? So my point is this. No, it's the third time and I can't bring it up. Where is it? Anyway, my point is this. That verse says, but when Peter was come to Antioch. So now we have to figure out when, after Acts 15, is Peter and Paul both at Antioch?
What was the question?
Okay, what we got to figure out is this. When, after Acts 15, is Peter and Paul both at Antioch? Now, why do we need to figure that out?
So we can corroborate
the story, and that's true, by the way. And why else?
To see the content that's in the verse.
To see the content, and why? What's our study about? What are we trying to figure out?
When he
wrote Galatians. So in other words, in this chapter of Galatians 2, Paul writes and says when Peter was come to Antioch. So Paul could not have written the book of Galatians prior to that event. The fact that that event is recorded in the book of Galatians tells you he has to have written it after the event. Right? So if we can determine when it was likely not only that Paul was back at Antioch, but that Peter came to Antioch, then we know that the book could not have been written before that. All right? It's going to bother me that I can't bring up that third time. Okay. But it'll be all right. Jim, go ahead. You got it?
He went back to Antioch in chapter 12 of Acts, the very first time he went to Jerusalem.
Yeah, but what I said was this. I said after Acts 15. I said after Acts 15 is what I'm looking for. But thanks for that input there. Yeah, because you're right. At the end of chapter 12, he goes back. But after Acts 15, he goes back to Antioch in Acts 15:40. Okay, so then chapter 16 starts the next apostolic journey. So 18:22, he comes back to Antioch. Okay, so then, no, it is just twice. It is just twice. Yeah, it is just twice, okay? Which means, therefore, that the event here in Galatians 2 that Paul writes about has to have occurred either in that time frame, Acts 15, that should be 30 to 40. It has to occur either there or in Acts 18:22. This confrontation that he writes about. Let's read the confrontation so you can see what we're talking about. Look at Galatians 2. Galatians 2. And I apologize for the confusion this morning. Sorry about that. Trying to clarify here. Okay, watch this. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. Now that's an issue, isn't it? Hold that verse there. Watch this. Whenever this event is, it appears to be relatively soon after the Jerusalem Council, not years later. Why do I say that? Why do we say that? Number one is because of the way that Paul links it directly with the Jerusalem Council that he records here. Number two, Peter's initial actions are consistent with the outcome of the Jerusalem Council. When Peter comes to Antioch, he eats with the Gentiles. And in so doing, what is Peter doing in terms of his actions? What's he recognizing? Yes, the program's changed. The metal wall of partition is down. It's okay for him to eat with the Gentiles. Do you remember when he first got the vision about going to Cornelius? And the Lord told him, go. Peter said, no, Lord, never have I eaten anything common or unclean. See that? So this time, so when he does go to Antioch on this journey, that's not even an issue. He goes and eats with the Gentiles. His conduct is manifesting the fact that Peter recognized the middle of the partition was down. There was no longer this God-given division between the Jew and the Gentile. Everybody see that? Got that in your thinking? Okay? But then James from Jerusalem... Somebody's phone's going off. Can you... Okay.
Outside.
Is that outside? Okay, anyway. It's still somebody's phone going off. It's a loud phone, man. Anyway, so then James sends some people up to Jerusalem. And then when that happens, what does Peter do? What's that?
He becomes a coward.
Yes, spiritually becomes a coward. That's true. I didn't hear what he said.
He
changed eating partners. That's, yeah. That'd be a fun, interesting title to the message, right? But that's what happens. Peter fears them which were of the Jews. He separates from the Gentiles. In so doing, what was Peter saying by his conduct?
The put the walls back.
No, he wasn't saying I'm a hypocrite. His conduct was saying that, but what was he saying by his conduct? What was he saying he believed by his conduct?
The wall is back.
By his conduct, he's saying the wall's back up. What his conduct said was he was a hypocrite. That's true, okay? But see the difference there? In his mind, he falls victim to fear of the Jews. He acts like the wall's back up, and hence he was... Okay? So, all the indication that you have here is that this event happens relatively soon after the Jerusalem Council, where James, Peter, and John had given him the right hands of fellowship that the middle opposition was down. Joseph, go ahead.
Yeah, you notice, we look here, character, and we have that James side of, you wonder if James' side is maybe not quite on Paul's gospel, and
yes.
Peter is influenced very strongly by James. There's a lot more than, Peter is just human being.
That's right. Yes, yeah. Let me repeat it for the folks listening on the internet. What Joseph mentioned is that James, you see James's input from Acts 15. He still is hopeful that the Gentiles will be brought under the law, because as James said, Moses has in every city them which read him on the Sabbath day. Okay, so he's expecting the Gentiles to come back under the law. Peter does initially respond positively. In fact, James, Peter, and John give Paul the right hands of fellowship, recognizing his ministry. Things change real fast. Peter goes up to Antioch, recognizes that the middle partition is gone, new dispensation, etc., things like that. But then because of pressure from James and that group, he kind of comes back. Peter should have known better. And you're going to see what Paul does here. He calls him out in front of everybody. This is big. Okay? This is big. I think I saw another hand up. Henry, go ahead.
The Galatians 2, I think, had happened after Acts 15, after the Jerusalem Council.
How do you know?
Otherwise, Paul would not have had... He would not have elected to stand on by withstanding Peter.
That's exactly right.
Rebuking him because of that understanding.
Yes. That's an excellent point. Excellent point. I hope everybody got what Henry just said there. If Paul had not conveyed to Peter and the Jerusalem leadership there his unique ministry, at least that which he knew so far, and if they, in turn, had not given him the right hands of fellowship, then Paul would not have a leg to stand on here to publicly rebuke Peter. You have both. The meeting at Jerusalem winds up being a public meeting. The meeting at Antioch winds up being a public rebuke. See that? And so the book of Galatians obviously has to have been written after not only the Jerusalem Council, but the event at Antioch here that we're reading about here now. Okay? Go ahead.
Galatians 2:13,
Barnabas also?
Yeah, Barnabas and the dissimulation and all that.
Yeah.
And then you go back to Acts 15, and you've got Acts 15:2 and Acts 15:39.
Yep.
Those are two separate instances.
Yes, yes. The one in Acts 15, 1 and 2 is a different contention than Acts 15, 39. Those are different.
15, 39 is the one in Galatians 2?
Okay, here's what I'm suggesting about that. That's why I said earlier, I asked the question earlier, does it seem like when you're in Acts 15, 30 to 40, does it seem like maybe some things are kind of getting stirred up a little bit? And we said yes. So, but you are told specifically what the contention in Acts 15 was over. That is, who you going to take Mark or not? You're told in Galatians 2 what the contention is about. It's about the middle of the partition. I'm saying they're linked. I'm saying they're related. One is the result of the other. Okay? That's what I'm saying, is that this things are beginning to get stirred up further at Antioch.
But in Acts, the two instances, 15:2 and 15:39, are two separate instances.
Yes, because one happens before Paul's trip to Jerusalem, the other happens after his return.
So the one that happens after his return is 15:39.
Yes.
And Galatians 2 would have to have been written after Acts 15:2.
After that, for sure that. For sure that.
Okay.
It has to be written after that. Yeah.
So,
yeah, yeah.
So far it seems like 15:39 is what they're talking about in Galatians 2:13.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everybody get that? Okay. All right, yeah. So here's what you got. Go back with me to Galatians 2 there. Watch this, verse 13, it says, "And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, and so much that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation." So this impacted Barnabas as well. All right, just like in Acts 15, you've got Barnabas bringing up the issue about Mark, and this great contention between him and Paul about that. Watch verse 14 now. "But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews?" Do you understand his question there? What is his question?
Why are you such a hypocrite?
That's true, but what is his question?
Are you not complete in Christ?
Are you not complete in Christ? Good, what else? Good, good, good. What else?
That the wall
has been broken down. See, you couldn't be complete in Christ in the former program. It's good. What else? See, when he says this, he says, "When I saw that they walk not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel." The truth of which gospel? That's right, Paul's gospel. Walking uprightly according to the truth of the gospel of the kingdom would have the Jews and Gentiles separated. That's, you've got to get that. Everybody see that? When that verse says, "When I saw that they walked not according to the truth of the gospel," he's talking about Paul's gospel. Had the dispensation of grace not come in, and had Peter stayed separate from the Gentiles, not in the sense of racism or hypocrisy or jealousy, but in the sense of, hey, we're so they're the Gentiles, we're going to bless them and so forth. Okay, that would have been fine.
Yeah. And he would have been right.
And he'd been right about it. When that verse says the truth of the gospel, it's talking about Paul's gospel. That means they should have seen and were therefore responsible at this point to Paul's gospel. Peter should have known. So he says, "But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles." Okay, what does that part of his question mean? Yeah, you're a Jew, but you're living like there's no difference between the Jews and the Gentiles. Okay, then keep reading. Get the thought here. "If thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles," that is until James came, right? "And not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews?" The word compel. That's exactly right. See, by him separating, Peter was a prominent figure in the Jewish kingdom program, correct? He's the head of the 12 apostles. So by him initially eating with the Gentiles, he's saying the middle wall partition is broken down. There's no difference between Jews and Gentiles in the eyes of God. But now he separates once the emissaries from James came. What is that now saying to the Gentiles at Antioch? That's right, they're still under Israel. So they're not walking according to the truth of the gospel. Okay? So here's the point, and our objective right now isn't to study verse by verse Galatians, all the details. I want you to see this. Where and when did this event in the book of Acts occur? Because it's in the book of Galatians written down as past history. Therefore, the book of Galatians had to have been written after this event. After Acts 15, or in Acts 15, verse 30 is when Paul goes back to Antioch. He's there from verse 30 to about verse 40, Acts 15, 30 to 40. You're not told exactly how long he is there, but he's not there for one day either. He's there for a little bit period of time. And then he's not back at Antioch until Acts 18, 22. That's too much time if you're going to say he doesn't write the book of Galatians. See, if Peter's trip to Antioch that Paul records in Galatians 2 If that doesn't occur until Acts 18:22, then the book of Galatians could not have written until after Acts 18:22. But what's the problem with that? Way too much time has passed. Okay? All the indication here in Galatians 2 that Paul goes to Jerusalem, has this receives the right hands of fellowship. So they all publicly acknowledge his ministry. Paul goes back to Antioch. Peter comes to Antioch and joins the fellowship. James sends a group up. Boom, things fall apart. This happens pretty quickly after Paul's return back to Antioch. Jim, go ahead. Yes. Very good observation. Everybody hear what he said? Okay. In Acts 15, Barnabas is there. And then they split off. Remember? At verse 41. In Galatians 2, Barnabas is there. And he has to rebuke Barnabas as well. Okay? Whereas out here in 18:22, there's no indication that Barnabas is there. All right. Okay, so we're beginning to narrow this thing down. Now, let me ask some other questions about this, because I'm racing the clock at this point, and I don't want to be, because we're right at a critical point in terms of understanding where he writes Galatians. All right. Can you think of, in the book of Galatians, does Paul mention any other territories that he has visited? Such as, does he ever mention Macedonia in the book of Galatians? I'll give you a clue. It's a two-letter word. Does he ever mention Achaia in the book of Galatians? Does he mention, for example, Philippi in the book of Galatians? Does he mention Athens or Corinth or Berea or Thessalonica? That's interesting. Now, it's not totally conclusive by itself. But on the other hand, let's think of his other books. When he writes the book of 1 Corinthians, has he already been through Macedonia and Achaia? Where is Corinth? Is it in Macedonia? Is it in Galatia? Or is it Achaia? A, B, C. Pick your answer. Or none of the above. Or all of the above. It's in Achaia. So when he writes the book of Galatians, he's already been to Achaia. He's already been through Macedonia. And in those books, in 1 Corinthians and in 2 Corinthians and in Thessalonica, he mentions those territories. He mentions, like in Thessalonica, about the churches of Macedonia. He mentions in Corinth, the churches, in fact, in Corinth, he mentions the churches of Galatia. That he refers to Macedonia, Achaia, those territories, Asia. But he doesn't mention any of those places in the book of Galatians. What's a possible conclusion about that? He hasn't been there yet. If you would, look with me over to the book of Galatians now. Look at Galatians chapter number 4. Look at Galatians chapter number 4. Watch this. Watch verse 13. Galatians 4:13 says this. It says, "Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you." What are the next three words? What does that mean? His first apostolic journey. See? So that means, and by the way, put that together with, look back at chapter 1 of Galatians. Look back to chapter number 1 of Galatians. Watch verse 6. Now he gets right to the point here. Galatians 1:6. He says, "I marvel that ye are," what's the next phrase there? "So soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel." Now, what's the significance of the "so soon"? And in connection with "after first." What were you going to say, Joe?
He's been there.
Okay. He was at Galatia at the first. That's his first apostolic journey. He writes the book of Galatians because he gets word either by other people or no doubt from other people and first-hand involvement, that man, they've departed from this message. So soon would mean so soon after his first visit. When does he go to the Galatian territory the second time? Acts 6, the second journey, Acts 16:1. He's in Lystra, Derbe, that territory. See that? Okay, now, have I confused everybody? Or just me? Go ahead. Okay, that was chapter 4. Look at Galatians 4. Galatians 4. And you can see at verse, where did it go here? 13? 4:13? Okay, so here's what happens. He goes to Galatia territory the first time, Acts 13-14. Acts 15, goes to Jerusalem for the Jerusalem Council. At the end of Acts 15, verse 30-40, he's back up at Antioch. Peter comes up to Antioch then. And Paul has to confront him. There's obviously a contention that occurred that was so sharp that even Barnabas was carried away. You're told that in Galatians 2. But then you're also told there was an additional contention between Barnabas and Paul over Mark. That's the end of Acts. So it's in chapter 16:1 now that Paul begins to go back out on his second journey. And one of the first areas that he goes to is Lystra, Derbe, the Galatia territory. And he says, I marvel that you are so soon. So he not only heard from some people, but likely experienced it firsthand that the Galatians had left.
To go back under the law.
The pattern is the same as what happened at Antioch. See, what was the pattern in Antioch? The Jews came up to try to separate the Gentiles. Now that's infected the whole Galatian territory. They've been bewitched to come back under the law. I'm saying this. Because there's no reference anywhere else in the book of Galatians to either Paul having already been to Macedonia, Antioch, or any of those assemblies, Philippi, Berea, Thessalonica, Athens, Corinth. None of that's in there. It's reasonable, therefore, to conclude that the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Galatians not only after his trip to Jerusalem for the Jerusalem Council, after when Peter came back to Antioch and Paul had to rebuke him, but so soon when he heard that they had departed. Therefore, Paul wrote the book of Galatians in Acts 16. Somewhere probably early on in Acts 16. In Acts 16, later on he gets to Macedonia. Remember the vision when he goes over to Macedonia and so forth? But there's no reference in the book of Galatians to that trip at all in any way. Nothing about that. Nothing about the Philippian jailer. Which it would seem odd that Paul would leave that out if those events occurred. He doesn't say he was in bonds, and yet at Philippi he was in bonds for a short time. So Paul writes the book of Galatians, no doubt, somewhere early in Acts 16. Okay, any questions?
About the events that happened in Acts 15? Is that when he wrote? In other words, you can't write about something until
it's already happened. Yeah.
So when he writes it in Acts 16 about Galatians, is he writing about the events?
He 30 to 40? Yes, yeah. See, what I'm suggesting is this, is that when Paul goes back, let me just erase this here. When Paul goes back in Acts 15, so 1 to 39, basically he takes the trip to Jerusalem, they have that meeting, then he comes back. And then in Acts 15, verse 30 to 40, he's back at Antioch. I'm saying it's that trip back to Antioch, when Paul spends some time there, that Peter comes up to Antioch. Initially, is acting like he understands that the gospel of grace, God, dispensation of grace, things like that. But then withdraws. So you have the contention about with Paul and Peter, and then Barnabas also carried away, and then the contention about Barnabas and Mark. So Paul has to have written Galatians after Acts 15:40. And the reason I say it's somewhere in chapter 16, early on in chapter 16, is because early on in chapter 16, Paul is now back traveling through some of the Galatian territory, and hence would have heard from others and experienced firsthand the fact that the Galatians had turned away from him. You guys know what that's like, right? So that's when he would write down and say, man, I marvel that you're so soon turned away from this. See that? A lot of pressure, for sure. Yes. If the pressure was so strong that it not only got Peter to withdraw and got Barnabas to withdraw, you can understand why the Galatians themselves, who would experience that pressure and then be wished to come back under the law. See that? So you're exactly right, Bernice. Denise. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Joseph, go ahead.
It seems that the Council of Jerusalem was the agreement between the groups, and then in any of that event with Paul and Peter, it's just, hey, come on, let's get on with the program. That puts that there to officially clarify that the thing has changed. And make
excellent. Everybody hear what Joseph said? Let me repeat it for the benefit of folks on the internet, because they often say, please repeat the comment or question and so forth. What Joseph said is, along these lines, is that the fact that you've got both accounts there, Galatians 2, Acts 15, it's like from both avenues, God the Holy Spirit is saying, guys, get this. The change has occurred and is publicly recognized now. Don't go back. So all along, they're fighting, have it going back. Is that kind of what you were conveying? You know, so... Right.
The problem the other church
here today. Yes. Yeah. They don't want to go forward to Paul. They want to go back to Peter, thinking that they say, well, I'm going to follow Jesus. Well, yeah, Peter was following Jesus, so was Paul. This is a different program. You have to follow Jesus according to the information that Christ gave today in the dispensation of grace. I saw another hand, I thought. So, all right. Go ahead, Sue.
So Galatians 14, when that contention was so strong, back over to Acts 15, when the contention was so strong between them, 1539, and the contention was so sharp, would that, you can pretty much kind of pinpoint when that was kind of...
Yes, yeah, what I'm saying is this. I'm saying the contention is not the same contention. I'm saying the one is the fruit of the other.
Okay.
Because the contention mentioned in Acts 15, you are told specifically, is about Barnabas wanted to take Mark. Paul says, no, we're not taking him. But I'm saying that contention was the fruit of the other contention that resulted in Barnabas being carried away with their dissimulation. Barnabas began to kind of backpedal on the message as well. Okay? So they're not the same contention. The one was the fruit of the other. Go ahead, Rich. Yes, excellent point. Rich brought up the point about 2 Peter, that 2 Peter would have been written long after this point, which means at that point Peter had clearly gotten back on track, which is a true statement, by the way. Okay? By the way, real quickly, how do you know that? Let me just show you something real quick in 2 Peter, and then we're going to have to wrap up here. We got some sound. Quickly, we're going to wrap it up. Look over to, what did I say, 2 Peter 3? Watch this. The comment that Peter makes in 2 Peter, look at verse 16. 2 Peter 3:16, it says this. It says, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do the other scriptures, unto their own discretion. Okay, so when does Peter write 2 Peter? Does Peter write 2 Peter prior to Paul's beginning his written ministry, or after Paul has already published some books. How do you know that? Because he says his epistles, plural. So he's already got some documents. So that tells you Peter, right, 2 Peter, after Paul's got a written ministry going and his documents are spread out and everybody can read them, etc.
And why the kingdom didn't come, he had to write.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Okay. If you haven't, we're going to dismiss now. If you have any questions, come up and ask me. I apologize if that was terribly confusing.
No.
It's recorded, so I guess you can go back and listen to it again. But, all right, let's take a break.